Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, I'm going to sneak in this caller first. I guess I probably could have checked in with the call and said, hey, you want to call back around 8:20? You want to call back around 8:40? But no, this is an important topic, so I want to get right to it. We do have a great guest joining us here in just a few minutes after the first break. We had a caller talking about the asylum process and the abuse of the asylum process right now with all these so-called migrants, so-called refugees. And anyway, John Fabricatori, former ICE field office director for Colorado and Wyoming, is going to be with us here in just a couple of minutes. But for those of you who have not heard the devastating news, the Stillwater Mine near Columbus, Montana, in the Absarokee Nye area, announcing 700 layoffs, just a huge punch in the gut. To the state of Montana here. I know we all have family, friends that work at the mine, et cetera. But man, what a big, impact all around. Brian is on the phone lines from Park City, Montana. Brian, what did you want to share this morning? Thanks for the call.
Well, I appreciate you taking the call. I was listening to the gentleman from Bozeman, I believe, and he was talking about the economic impact. Well, here is some hard numbers. For every $1 that is earned and paid out of that mine, it generates $11 of revenue, trickle-down revenue, gas stations, bars, et cetera, in the Tri-County area, in Stillwater County, Carbon County, and Yellowstone County. That's the dollar amount. That's what the true impact is going to be.
I believe it. I mean, I mentioned, you got the pickups that the miners likely purchased, the nice homes that the families are able to afford thanks to high-wage mining jobs in particular. And, I mean, you got miners that travel from all across the state for these mining jobs and they might travel home for those few days off in a row.
Right. That's exactly right. And we've got a number of miners that come out of Wyoming and Idaho.
That's right. Just like you'll have miners in Libby that might fly to Alaska for a mining job. It's like I say, it's just a punch in the gut, isn't it?
Well, it is. And there's a lot more to this than just that. And, unfortunately, our wonderful administration in the White House has quite a bit of influence on this by allowing Russian palladium being imported into the United States.
Yeah, for all the talk about Russia, 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 why are they allowing Russian palladium into the United States? Why are they allowing Russia to be partly responsible for destroying Montana jobs? It's so crazy. I did see Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy send out a reaction and saying that it's, end the imports from Russia and put America first again, of course. Hey, thanks for the call. We're going to get to John Fabricatori talking about the asylum process and more right after this, and then open phone starting at 8:20.
Securing America.
9/11 remembrances served as the backdrop Wednesday for a Washington Post-sponsored discussion with Assistant Attorney General for National Security Matt Olson, who admitted the threat level against the U.S. remains undiminished.
We continue to face a very complex and dynamic threat landscape when it comes to terrorism.
Olson says we face threats from groups like Al-Qaeda or ISIS and state-sponsored terrorism from countries like Iran. But the biggest worry is single individuals or small cells already in the U.S.
They could be radicalized online using encrypted ways of communicating. And of course, inside the United States, they have easy access to military grade weapons.
Olson says the terrorism landscape has become more complex since 9/11, but also believes
there's not an organization in the world better equipped or more dedicated to taking on the terrorism threat than the FBI.
Kevin Redskin, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so we should have John Fabricatore on the phone lines with us here any moment. Yeah, I've actually interviewed him before. In fact, I brought up his name either yesterday or the day before. One of our listeners, and I forget who it was, but they made a great point. They were talking about the abuse of the refugee asylee process in America right now because of the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, John Tester regime. They were making, I know who it was. It was Lisa in Red Lodge called in. I think it was yesterday. Lisa in Red Lodge made the point that what they are doing is they're basically, you know, they're bringing these so-called migrants into America. Now, this is on top of the illegal aliens they're allowing to just flow right across our southern border. But then they're bringing in all of these other people and granting them some sort of a legal status. They are abusing the refugee and asylee process and just, you know, oh, you're going to be a refugee, you're going to be a refugee, you're going to be a refugee. So that's one of the other ways they are flooding this country with basically illegal aliens, but then giving them some sort of a status. And I mentioned how, you know, we had this conversation with John Fabricatore, who was the ICE field office director for Colorado and Wyoming before he retired from a career serving our country. But anyway, John Fabricatore, looks like he's now with us on the phone lines. John, thanks for freeing up some time with us this morning. Your thoughts on what is going on, speaking of Colorado, with this Venezuelan gang in Aurora, Colorado?
It's just out of control. I mean, look, our border is so porous right now. You know, they're not vetting people like they say they are. I just heard you talking about the visa program. That visa program is so rife with fraud. The amount of people that are being let
Fox News commentary
backgrounds, and we don't know about it because we don't share that information with those other countries, or they don't share it with us. And you know, we've got these Trendaragua gang members that have now set up shop here in Aurora, Colorado, in New York, in Chicago, in Texas, you name it. These guys are now all over the United States, and we need to stand up and do something about this.
And, of course, the media and even some local fake news liberal TV stations here in Montana were sharing news reports where they were downplaying the Venezuelan gang members in Aurora, Colorado. They're downplaying this threat. If they've got them in Colorado, I'll guarantee we've either got them or we're about to get them here in Montana.
Absolutely, you have them up in Montana. They're setting up shop. Look, these guys, they deal with kidnapping, extortion, prostitution, drug trafficking. They're going to make it to Montana because they want a piece of that pie, too. They're not going to just stay in these major cities. They're going to move out to small-town America.
I did see a report here from Fox News Radio. Leadership from the American Sheriff Alliance is demanding that this Venezuelan gang, Tren de Aragua, be addressed with action. And apparently the gang had issued a green light to its members to attack and fire upon U.S. law enforcement members.
Yeah, this just shows you that this gang doesn't care. Like, look, normally they don't come in and push against law enforcement because law enforcement normally pushes back. But we don't have the kind of law enforcement right now that can push back. The defund the police movement has really affected our law enforcement capabilities. We have these sanctuary cities and states that aren't letting local and federal authorities work together. These gangs know this. They look at this and they're moving into these areas first, but they're not just going to stay in these sanctuary cities.
So talk also about how, you know, the Haitian migrant story out of Springfield, Ohio, another story that is being downplayed or denied by the liberal media. And I include some of the liberal media in Montana in that as well. They're taking part in this. Oh, come on. That's not happening. And what's happening there is, again, abuse of this refugee asylee process, right? Or similar storyline.
No, it's the same storyline. So that's the CHNV process that they're using, the Chinese, Haitian, Nicaraguan, Venezuelan program that they put together. And look, they took 20,000 Haitians and dropped them in a community of 50,000 people. What do you think was going to happen? I mean, you know, you're taking people, you know, that you know, maybe don't have the same kind of job skills as the people in that community. And those people in that community are already hurting for jobs. And then you stick another 20,000 people on top of it. And, you know, I mean, they're saying that they're eating geese, they're eating their ducks, they might be eating their pets. You know, who knows? Who knows what's actually going on? But the bottom line is our border has become nothing. We don't have a border. We're just letting people in and we're saying, you know what, we're just going to give you some money. We're going to put you up in an apartment. We're going to pay your bills, and then we're going to just randomly stop. And once they stop, what are these people going to start doing? And we're seeing what happens when you know, these do-good organizations start paying, and then they stop paying.
Yeah, and it's not going to come to a stop until we get a change in the regime in Washington right now, the Biden-Harris-John Tester regime that is pushing all of this and trying to grant even a legal status to non-citizens so they can rush them into the country and then rush them into citizenship so they can rush them into the voting booths. It's such a national disgrace what is going on right now. John Fabricatori, appreciate your service, appreciate your time. 20 seconds to go. What else do you want to share with our listeners?
Hey, you just got to keep your head on a swivel. Like this is going on. You got to make sure that you're seeing what's happening in your community. Report things if you see it. Let law enforcement know early and often so we can stop these guys.
All right, John Fabricatori, thanks for your time. And again, thanks for your service to this country. It's such a disgrace to see, you know, the service that you and many other officers gave to defend this country, and just to see it all be opened up the way it's been opened up by this regime is a national disgrace. All right, thanks again. Quick break. Phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970, or message us on the Montana Talks app.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. If you get something you want to talk about, and then coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, we've got Congressman Ryan Zinke joining us for a statewide town hall meeting. That's kind of what we do every day on the show, a big statewide town hall meeting, where you get a chance to jump in and be heard all across Montana, and jump in on the conversation with leading officials as well. Let's see. Let me go first here to Heath. I got an email, you know, talking about the Stillwater mine. I got a very important email from Heath Benson that came in last night as this news about hundreds of people being laid off at the Stillwater mine was being reported. I've got a couple of quick reactions here. Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy said this when he saw the news: prohibit Russian imports, protect Montana jobs, put America first. Governor Greg Gianforte also sent out this statement: today's decision by Stillwater Mining is a significant blow to hardworking Montana miners, their families, and our communities. The state of Montana will bring to bear every available resource to help these workers and their families. This is a challenging time for the mining sector. The ongoing regulatory assault on mining and natural resources has burdened this critical sector of our economy. The fact is, the United States cannot and should not have to rely on our foreign adversaries for energy, critical metals, or other resources. That was part of what Governor Greg Gianforte had to say. But Heath Benson now on the phone lines with us. And Heath, thanks for calling in. I understand you've got the Nye Trading Post right there in beautiful Nye, Montana.
Yeah. Thanks, Aaron, for letting me call in. Yeah, we've had the Nye Trading Post. We've owned it for my wife and I for 8 years. And, you know, it's been here. The Trading Post itself has been in place for almost 40 years. And it's been very dependent on this the Stillwater Mine in all those years. And, you know, in the winter months, the mine accounts for probably 60 to 70% of our business. In other words, that's why we're able to stay in our small little business out here at Nye.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, being located there, you know, in the, you know, right at the base of the mountains, and you've got beautiful rivers in the area, so you get tourism in the summer, fishermen, hunters, but really it's the mine that is such a huge economic impact, not just for you, but for that whole area. You said something in your email. You said this: we will be the victim of the Green New Deal push and the socialist ownership style. One of the miners that I heard from basically had a similar response, to where basically, you know, this is yet another victim of Biden's policies, of the Biden-Harris tester regime policies, the anti-mining, the anti-resource development agenda that we've seen coming out of Washington.
Yeah, we're here to see that, you know, all unfold. And we look at the numbers very closely. You know, we had our best years, you know, 3-4 years ago, and things were, the economy was strong, and people were spending money. But ever since this, you know, the EV push and the palladium and the metal prices started dropping, we saw the traffic start to drop. And everybody could see the writing on the wall a long time ago. And I feel like the reaction was just very slow. And we saw the money that was being spent on things at the mine that I feel like should have been redirected in anticipation for what everybody else was seeing.
Yeah, we've seen so many negative ramifications of this Green New Deal push and this forced, attempted transition, because clearly the transition is not taking place. But because of the push towards EVs, that has hurt the market. And then this same administration that loves to pretend to be tough on Russia, but has never truly been tough on Russia, is allowing Russian imports of the very materials that we should be mining, continue to be mining right here in Montana.
Yeah, and I also wanted to say, you know, the concern on everybody's faces out here when that news came through is just incredibly discerning. It's almost like everything kind of went silent. And the roots run super deep from the mine into the communities. It's not just, you know, the miners. It's the business owners, but it's fabricators. It's many, many businesses are going to be challenged through this. And I don't want us to have more ghost towns because of this, because this is what happens. And you know, Nye is such a small community. We're one of two businesses. Without that, it's not a community.
Yeah.
So, Nye and Fishtail and Zorky and Columbus and everywhere around the Stillwater Mine is going to be impacted.
No, that's right. And everywhere from Billings to Bozeman, Columbus, Big Timber. But I'll bet there's even miners that travel down from northwest Montana because, you know, the same radical left-wingers that have been pushing this Green New Deal have also been, you know, have got liberal federal judges that have prevented getting the mines in northwest Montana up and running. Heath, thank you so much for calling in. I'd encourage folks, if you're looking to do a road trip, get up there, show some support to the Nye Trading Post and some of the other great businesses in the area. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Aaron.
All right, appreciate it. And call us back, too, if you got something, you know, more important information to share or what our listeners can do to show support for the miners and the various communities. I appreciate your email even better. I'm glad you called in. It's so much more powerful hearing it in your voice and in your words. 406-294-0970. Next up, let's go to Stephanie in Red Lodge. Stephanie, thanks for the call.
Hi, good morning, Aaron. And I just want to say my heart is broken for these people in our community that are going to be laid off. And may we rally behind these people in this community and help them during this difficult time.
Yeah, it makes me wonder. How many nice how many nice restaurants in Red Lodge, benefit from you know, miners or businesses, that get money based off of the mine and everything like that. There's probably a lot of people who are able to go enjoy Red Lodge and the tourism there as a result of the economic output of that mine, right?
Absolutely. We have friends that work at that mine, so this really hits close to home. It hits Montana in a very significant way. And, you know, Aaron, elections have consequences, and that's one of the reasons why I'm calling in. I wanted to let your listeners know about an event that's happening, three events that are happening in Carbon County regarding the upcoming election, and it's about the initiatives that are going to be on the ballot. I think most people, when they read those ballot initiatives, they're confusing, they don't understand what they mean, and they may vote in such a way that later they regret, and you can't take that ballot back once you've sent it out. So here's the opportunity I wanted to present to your listeners in the Carbon County and surrounding areas. The Montana Family Foundation and the Carbon County Women's Group have come together, and we want to invite you to public forums, and we're going to be discussing those constitutional initiatives that will be on the upcoming ballot. And we're calling it Facts versus Myths. And so the forums are Thursday evenings from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at three different locations in Carbon County. September 19th at the Red Lodge Senior Center. September 26th. At the Bridger Senior Center, and October 3rd at the Joliet Community Center. There'll be various speakers. We're going to have a Q&A. We'll have light refreshments. We're going to discuss the other initiatives, CI-126 and CI-127. And, of course, we're going to be discussing CI-128, which has to do with radically changing our state abortion laws, which are already very liberal, by the way, and enshrining it into our Constitution, which would be very hard to pull back.
Yeah,
Aaron,
that's right.
This is the parental rights issue of our day. A minor can have an abortion without parental consent or notification. Imagine Pandora's box that opens.
Well, and I think it's also about more than just no limits abortion, as radical as that is alone. There's much more to it. Coming up after our 8:50 break, I'm going to play the legislative update from Jeff Laslaffy with the Montana Family Foundation. It's a legal analysis of CI-128, which is exactly one of the things that Stephanie just talked about. And Stephanie, if you can, shoot me a link if you've got a Facebook page or a website where all of those events you mentioned are going to be shared at, because I know a lot of our listeners, they may not remember, wait, what night, what town, where? So if we can share a link with them, that'll be very helpful. Appreciate the phone call. Great to hear from you. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Alan in Bozeman. Alan, what's on your mind?
Oh, I'm doing well today. How are you?
Great.
Well, I wanted to say one thing. Everybody's out here, they use words like progressive, they use words like liberal, they use words like socialist, quasi-socialist, democratic socialist, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Satan's greatest trick was convincing the world he didn't exist. Well, in America, the communists' greatest trick was convincing the world that they didn't exist. You wonder why you've got the huge preponderance of the weight of the state on top, and from below you have the rising criminal class. That's to crush the hated bourgeoisie, which is, I guess, most of us, the middle class, because they regarded that as the only threat to true power. Now, the really rich guys, they do really well under communism. They have their own stores, they have their dockets on the Black Sea, et cetera, et cetera. And the poor people, they get by, and they're willing to trade their votes. So what I'm saying is that we are in the middle of a full-blown communist insurrection, and we have now got at the top ranks of our leaders, I would say, dedicated Marxists. I listened to Tampon Tim or whatever his name is, and he sounds like a commie to me, so I'm just telling you.
The guy honeymooned in Beijing. He got married on Tiananmen Square Day. That's how much he in love with the communist Chinese that guy is. He's an absolute nut job. By the way, did you hear the slip-up that he had when talking about Kamala? Wait for that one next.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. We've got some messages that have come in here on our Montana Talks app. Oksana in Billings. Oksana, great to hear from you. Liberals at their finest, she writes. Biden's administration puts all these sanctions on Russia, yet here they are importing minerals from Russia. Not only are we paying for the Russian military, but we're also destroying our economy. Yes, Oksana, that is what has just frustrated me since day one. Is we would not have this we would not have had this war in Ukraine. We would not have had this invasion of Ukraine. All these innocent people would not have lost their lives. First off, if Donald J. Trump was still the president of the United States and we operated from a position of strength instead of from a position of weakness. But from day one, oh, we're going to be tough on Russia. Well, then why didn't you get tough on Russia? The best thing they could have done was drill, baby, drill and unleash the American energy economy and unleash American mining. But instead, look, what China controls 90% of the minerals that we're dependent on as an economy was, I think, one story I saw yesterday. Russia still able to make – when we pay higher gas prices, we are funding Putin's war in Ukraine. And when Joe Biden and John Tester allowed Iran to get your oil money, we are funding what is going on, these terrorist attacks against the peaceful citizens of Israel. We are funding our own enemies. And, now John Tester says, oh, yeah, we should ban Russian imports. Oh, well, what have you been doing for the last 3.5 years, John? Hell, what have you been doing for the last 30 years that you've been a politician? That's the question that Tim Sheehy has been asking. Andy in Whitefish says, we got to come together to protect Montana from the anti-America. And now he says Adam Schiff's here. He says, we've got to protect Montana from the anti-America dip Schiff's. Dip Adam Schiff's is what he said there. All right, but on a lighter note, did you guys see this? Johnny Mega shared this video clip. So Tim Walz, Tampon Tim, the governor of Minnesota, the guy who let Minneapolis burn, Kamala Harris's running mate, Donald Trump Jr. shared this via X. He says Tim Walz is having a rough one tonight with several laughter emojis. Tim Walz, in his remarks in Grand Rapids, Michigan, said that Kamala Harris started her career as a young prostitute-er. He said she started her career as a young prostitute-er. Here you go.
Because this started, and I love this story, as a young prostitute-er. Kamala Harris talked about going in that courtroom for the first time.
Wait a minute. Did that play the right clip here? Hold on. I thought I recorded it right earlier.
Because this started, and I love this story, as a young prostitute-er.
Oh, yeah, there it was. Anyway, and then Tim Walz, knowing what he just slipped up and said, kind of had this awkward pause afterwards. Anyways, pretty hysterical. Almost as hysterical as Joe Biden putting on the red Trump 2024 hat. Almost that funny. Let's see. Who do we got next up here on the phone lines? Let's see. We got Lee in Kalispell. Lee, what's going on?
Hi, Aaron. Yeah, this is just a suggestion for the people that don't want to vote, don't like Trump. But if you like his economy, man, make a suggestion. Hold your nose and vote for him anyway.
Yeah.
I know I did one time, and that was for John McCain. He said his policy sounded more like a Democrat than some of the Democrats at the time. But, you know, the alternative was worse, and that was Carter and the gas lines we had under him, and if they had gas. But and with what we have now, we've got going after Harris will be 100 times worse than that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Yeah, in fact, some of these independent voters that are even being interviewed by CNN are saying just that. Lee, thanks for the call. They're saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, didn't vote for Trump before. This is them. Didn't vote for Trump in 2016. Yeah, didn't vote for him in 2020. But now, gosh, even if I don't like the guy, things were better when he was president. So it's you're right. Like, you can just, if you don't like Donald Trump, you can just vote for him. You don't even have to tell your friends or your neighbors. You can just vote for him in secret and then spend the next 4 years with a better economy. And you can just shut off your TV. If you don't like Donald Trump, stop watching MSNBC and CNN, and you don't have to see him every night. You can just kick back and enjoy the benefit of the policies. Rick in Billings next. Rick, what's on your mind?
Well, there's a couple of things. A little while ago, you talked about somebody won a decision in the Supreme Court about illegal immigrants that they can't carry or own firearms in this country because they're not citizens. Is that true?
Yeah, it was one of the circuit courts. Yeah. Then there was a Montana. Oh, there was a Montana. It was a federal court case involving a an illegal alien living in Gallatin Gateway who got prosecuted on gun charges. And yeah, they said that illegal aliens are not allowed to own guns. And that was in a liberal federal court here in Montana.
Well, that's an awesome win because there's almost 100,000 Chinese communist military-aged men. I saw a clip on TV where all they do all day long is practice shooting rifles at targets, you know, like they're getting prepared. And that's all they do is shooting guns. And then I heard that they grow weed and, you know, marijuana to supply themselves with money. And I also heard that they got several military Chinese police stations across America. So there's something coming up with that.
Yeah, they have the illicit marijuana grow operations are the communist Chinese. Communist Chinese, Maine, Denver, Colorado. I mean, this has been well documented that these are illicit, illegal marijuana grow and oftentimes distribution operations. Slave labor in Denver they've used for their illicit marijuana operations. No, that's all true. Rick, thanks for the call. Sorry to make it quick, but we got more callers on the phone lines I want to sneak in here before we get to the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation here in just a few minutes. John in Kalispell next up. John, what's on your mind?
Good morning. Aaron, how you doing?
Hey, doing great.
I just wanted to add to that right there is all these Chinese troops that come into this country, all the terrorists, I think what the Socialist Democrats are doing are planning for a civil war, and then they'll turn around and declare martial law, and that'd be a way not to even have an election. That way the Democrats could stay in power.
Well, they've got Google and Facebook running interference for them, man, it's just crazy. The fact that even folks on the left aren't speaking out against what is taking place in Brazil right now, where the censorship against X, Elon Musk's X, I mean, both parties should be speaking out very loudly against what's going on down in Brazil right now. But then again, the Democrats are doing the same thing here in America, so go figure. Hey, thanks for the call. Next up, she goes by the name Tester, will not be reelected. Calling in from Eastern Montana, what's going on?
Hi, Aaron, and hello, Montana. Happy Freedom Friday. I appreciate this radio show so much, Aaron. It is just like the safe conservative voice of reason for Montana. It's a breath of fresh air, but I have a quick message of hope today. Senator Tester's campaign is beginning to flounder and flounder bad, in part because of us, your listeners and your callers, and people that are brave enough to speak up about the destruction of the Biden-Harris-Tester administration. It's making a difference, so I wanted to update you and your listeners about that. But sometimes people want to do more, and they don't feel comfortable knocking on doors. They don't feel comfortable making phone calls and talking to people they don't know. So I have one small effort for your listeners, if they could, that would make a huge impact.
Yeah, go ahead. We got 30 seconds.
Pick one subject that is important to you that Senator Tester is ignoring and call his office. If we all do it together, it'll make the greatest difference. Thank you so much, Aaron. Have a good day.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, that message of hope and optimism, it's not a false optimism that she's sharing. She shared on X earlier this morning, PolitiFact, the left-wing so-called fact-checking organization, PolitiFact, just did a fact check on liberal Senator John Tester and said he is lying about Tim Sheehy. When even the left-wing PolitiFact is calling out John Tester for lying, that's when you know that John Tester is losing it. The hospitals are calling him out. Left-wing PolitiFact is calling him out. He is losing it.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
James Clyburn, if Harris does any more interviews, they may drill down on questions until she says something that is harmful. I mean, is he signaling that she's not going to do another single interview? You know, Ari Fleischer, according to a new Pew poll, that Harris's support among Jewish voters is the lowest for a Democrat since Dukakis lost in 1988. New York Times pundits are saying that they believe Harris won the debate, but undecided voters, no, they're not agreeing with the New York Times. Same thing with Reuters. Undecided voters are not convinced by Harris after debate with Trump. They all seem to be saying the same thing.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
You know, firearms are a great protection, but as a gun owner, you got to consider firearms as a last resort. You really want to pull the trigger and then deal with the financial, mental repercussions? The answer has to be no. You need to start with the less lethal option. That's Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A. Now, the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Launcher was designed by gun owners because Byrna wants to save lives while also creating a product that confidently protects those concerned with personal safety. Now, the Byrna Pistol Launcher is equipped with powerful deterrents, tear gas, kinetic rounds, and it has a 50 to 60 foot range. It's amazing. And the Byrna Launcher can incapacitate an attacker for 30 to 40 minutes. Now, the Byrna Launcher is legal in all 50 states. There's no background check needed. There's no permit needed. And they'll ship it directly to your door. Now, don't start with deadly force. Start with less lethal force. Go to BYRNA.com/Hannity. 10% off any purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Hannity. And make the smart choice for your family's safety today. Today.
154-800-790-9154.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, if we didn't get to your phone call this hour, you're going to want to call into the show in the 9 o'clock hour. We've got Montana Western District Congressman Ryan Zinke joining us for our radio town hall meeting. But first, I want to play this legislative update from Jeff Laszloffy with the Montana Family Foundation. This is a legal update on CI 128.
One of the fundamental rights of every member of the Montana legislature is the right to view and understand the complete text of any piece of legislation upon which they're being asked to vote. The same fundamental right applies to citizens who are voting on ballot initiatives, especially those that would amend our Constitution. We recently conducted a statewide poll on CI 128, the proposed ballot initiative to embed a right to abortion in the Montana Constitution, and through that process became aware that most voters have no idea what the amendment actually contains. As a result, we asked Dr. Rob Nadelson to analyze the amendment and tell us exactly what it does and does not do, and most importantly, to point out the pitfalls and unintended consequences contained in the measure. For those who may not know, Dr. Nadelson is a former professor at the University of Montana Law School, and he currently sits as a senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independence Institute. His work has been cited by U.S. Supreme Court Justices Roberts, Kagan, Alito, Thomas, Scalia, and Gorsuch. You can read his complete memo on our website at montanafamily.org. In analyzing CI-128, he began by saying that constitutional amendments should fit well within the existing state constitution. The amendment should define important words and phrases, should focus on the issue at hand, and should be crafted to avoid hidden and unintended consequences. After reviewing CI-128, he said the language is discordant, even ugly. It introduces a new and generic pronoun and employs transitory, quote-unquote, woke language foreign to the rest of the document and inappropriate for any state constitution. He went on to say, quote, if placed in the Montana Constitution, CI-128 would look like a festering sore on an otherwise healthy body. He then listed five serious defects and said there may be others. The first defect is found in paragraph 1, which says there is a right to make and carry out decisions about one's own pregnancy, including the right to abortion. The passage contains no limits on who may make such decisions and seems to include minor children as well as mentally incompetent people with legally appointed guardians. This wording threatens parental rights and exposes children to abusive practices by people outside the family. The second defect begins in the first paragraph and extends to the fourth. It creates a novel and experimental legal test previously unknown in either Montana or federal law. Dr. Nadelson asserts that this language is a sign either of drafting incompetence or an attempt to mislead the voters. The third defect gives life and death power to quote-unquote treating healthcare professionals but never describes who they are. In his words, this segment of CI-128 could literally convert Montana into a cesspool of unlicensed and unscrupulous quacks who prey on unhappy women. The fourth defect deals with the term fetal viability. It appears to limit abortions up to the point of viability, but the actual wording would allow a quote-unquote treating healthcare professional to perform late-term and even partial birth abortions. And finally, defect number 5 deals with the term woman, which for some strange reason exists nowhere in the amendment. Instead, the proponents substituted the terms pregnant patient or pregnant person in place of woman. This sets the stage for future litigation, presumably to claim constitutional status for transgenders. The bottom line in this case is that those who vote for CI-128 are not merely voting for reproductive rights. They are offering constitutional support for biological males to invade women's sports, for surgical mutilation of children, and for the transgender agenda as a whole. Please get the facts before you vote. You can read the 8-page memo in its entirety on our website at montanafamily.org. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszloffy reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
All right, great update there by Jeff Laszloffy, and we are working to get both him and Rob Nadelson on the show here very soon to talk about it more in depth. Congressman Zinke next hour.